Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
We're continuing in our series on living large. And today I get to focus on sharing freely. So who's ever experienced something so good that you had to tell someone? Anyone? Right? Maybe it's a restaurant. Maybe it's a book or a movie that you watched. And you just had to tell all your friends about this because you're like, this was the best thing ever. Right? We do this because we want others to experience this as well. And when something leaves a mark on us, it naturally kind of outflows out of us. And our walk with Jesus is the same. In Christ, we've been given something far greater than a good meal or story. We've been given life. A life filled with joy, hope, purpose, and peace. And that should encourage us to actually share that freely. Not to hoard it, not to keep it to ourselves. God never designed our faith to be hidden. He designed it for us to shine. It's about letting what God has done in us naturally flow out of us. It's about a light that shines, a testimony that speaks honestly, and a hope that points towards Jesus. So today, we'll see what sharing freely flows from Christ in us, spilling over into us in light, testimony, and in hope. So the first point that we're going to look at is let the light shine freely. And so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can study your word, and I pray that you prepare our hearts for what you want to say to us today. I pray, God, you'd speak through me, and God, help us to share our testimony, to share what you've done in our lives. God, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So let's read Matthew 5, 14 to 16. As it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So God's has always called his people to be a light to the nations. And we see this in Isaiah 42:6 and 49:6. So that salvation would reach the ends of the earth. Israel was chosen to represent God to the nations so that people could know him. Now that calling has moved from Israel to the church. And we see this in 1 Peter 2:9 as it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light." God has chosen us, set us apart, and brought us into his life, light, so that we could declare his praises to the world. And this is why we let our light shine freely, so that others can step out of darkness into the light of Christ. And in Jesus' day, the most common oil lamps were something that fit right in your hand. And so if you were to put that lamp under something, that light then becomes useless, and there's no point to it. When Jesus called his followers to be the light of the world, he used an expression that was very common in this time. Jerusalem was often called the light to the Gentiles, and a famous rabbi would often be called a lamp of Israel. But everyone knew that no lamp could light itself. It was God who lit Israel's lamp. In the same way, it is not us who produces the light, but Christ who lights us so that we can reflect him in this world. If we are not connected to the light source, we eventually will burn out. It's sort of like our phones, right? We charge it at night so that it can be fully charged, and as we use it throughout the day, it slightly depletes over time. And then eventually, if we don't charge it, that thing ends, our phone ends up dying out. If we want to keep shining, we ourselves have to be connected to the light source. We must stay connected to Christ. It's not about our good works or religious activity that makes us shine, but a living relationship with God. The radiance that shines comes from the presence of Christ within the Christian heart. Light is something that is meant to be seen, so Christianity has to be visible. There's no such thing as secret discipleship. Our faith is not meant to be hidden. If our Christianity only shows up inside the church walls, it is not much use to anyone. We are not called to be a light to the church. We're called to be a light to the world. Light also guides in a world that is misguided. Christians can guide people towards the truth with compassion and love. For we were once lost, but Christ found us and brought us into his light. Light not only guides, but it also serves as a warning, like a lighthouse that warns a ship of danger. And so if our family or friends are in danger, we're definitely going to say something about it. And our good deeds must also not only be good, but attractive, so that people can ask, why are you different? Why do you have so much love, joy, and peace? The answer is always Jesus Christ. And our good deeds are not meant to draw attention to ourselves, but to God. Jesus also says in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. This statement came right after the Feast of Tabernacle, where large lamps were lit in the temple courts to remember the pillar of fire that guided Israel in the wilderness. So against this backdrop, Jesus declared that he is God's guidance, God's revelation of truth, and the giver of life itself. He is the very presence of God among his people, leading them out of darkness into life. Jesus is the true source of light. And in Matthew 5, the disciples are the reflection of that light. So our task is not to create light, but to reveal it, not by hiding it. When people see our good works, they are catching a glimpse of the light of the world shining through us. So if Jesus is the true light, we are reflecting him clearly. Or are we actually dimming our light? And if our light feels dim, what would it look like to get back to the source in our own life? Second point is let the testimony flow freely. And let's read 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So in the early church, Christians lived in a hostile and suspicious world, probably very similar to what we have today. And it was inevitable that they would be called to defend the faith that they held and the hope in which they lived. And so Peter writes to believers who are suffering and reminds them that before they can ever speak about their faith, it must first be settled in their hearts. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Testimony begins with who is truly the charge of our lives, right? It's if God is the boss or the leader of our life. We surrender our lives to him. If Jesus is not Lord, then our words will be empty and our testimony must flow out of genuine surrender to him. When I think about this, when I took a year off before I went to college, I worked in Dish Pit and I hated that job more than anything. But they ended up hiring this head chef to overlook over everything. But the thing was, no one liked this head chef because he didn't know how to cook. And he was the charge of the whole thing. And no one had respect for him. They actually didn't want him cooking in the kitchen because he didn't know what he was doing. And it's the same with Christianity. If we don't know Jesus, if he's not Lord of our life, then our words are useless. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people that shines light, shows love and grace and mercy. This means Christianity is not about having the right answers, but about having a living relationship with God. A relationship where we spend time with him in his word, listening to his voice in prayer, and walking in daily obedience to him. The more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. This is why spending time with God matters, because the more we spend with him, the more we'll be like him. When we put Christ in his rightful place as Lord, our lives reflect him naturally, our speech, our attitudes, and our actions. Revering Christ means setting him apart as holy, dedicating ourselves to him, honoring him, making him the center of our lives, not ourselves. It means we stop trying to be the one in control and learn to pray, God, your will be done. Peter then says, always be prepared to give an answer. Testimony is not about is not only about living, but also speaking when the opportunity comes as well. To be prepared means readiness, being alert and available when someone asks you about your faith. This doesn't mean you need to have every theological detail figured out or every objection answered. Often we hesitate to share because we think we're not smart enough or we don't know enough. But Peter is not calling us to be scholars. He's calling us to be witnesses. A witness simply tells what they've seen and what they've heard. And that is exactly what Christians are called to do. One of the most powerful things that we can share is our own story and how God has worked in our own lives. Maybe God brought you from a place of darkness into light. Maybe he healed a broken relationship, gave you peace during suffering, or freed you from shame and guilt. Whatever your story, people cannot refuse your lived experience with God. To give a defense does not mean to be defensive, but to give a thoughtful explanation about what you believe and why you believe it. I remember when I first became a Christian, I did have so many questions myself. And so I just began reading books about Christianity. One was Mere Christianity, and the other was Case by Christ by Lee Strobel. And these gave me a foundation showing me that Christianity is not a blind faith, but logically it actually makes sense. But those resources helped me. But at the end of the day, what impacts most people was my own experience of Christ's presence and forgiveness in my life. This is what people need to hear. Not polished arguments, but authentic stories of a real Savior who changes lives. This is why I love Alpha. When we were watching the training videos, the one thing they said was, don't try to win the argument, right? The idea is to win the person, to show them love and care. Because if you win the argument, that person might not come back the next time, right? The idea is to listen and to create space for open dialogue, whether people agree with the message or not. Like, they're welcome at Alpha. And that's what we're meant to do, is not be argumentative, but to share our story. Right? The focus is not on proving someone wrong, but showing them love, care, even if they disagree. And I love that Alpha creates that safe space of open dialogue, because arguments rarely soften hearts, but love and listening often do. Paul also warned Timothy and Titus not to get caught up in foolish controversies or endless debates about the law. Arguments rarely draw people to Christ, but testimony, honest witness, can open a heart. When we share freely, we should look for people who are willing to engage in healthy conversations, not shouting matches. Because at the end of the day, it's not us who saves people, and it's not our clever words that transforms them. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. He softens hearts, opens eyes, and draws people to Christ. We simply partner with him by being faithful to share our story and the hope that we have. Sometimes we worry, what do I say? How do I convince them? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:19 not to worry about what to say, because the Spirit would give them the right words at the right time. The same promise applies to us today. If we're dependent on God, he will give us the right words when we need them. Our part is to stay close to him, listen to him, and obey when he nudges us to speak. Acts 4 gives us a perfect example of testimony flowing freely. So Peter and John kind of just healed this person who's been crippled from birth at the temple gates. And the miracle kind of started to draw this huge crowd. And they began to boldly preach the gospel at this time. And the religious leaders didn't like this, and they began to arrest them. And Peter, being filled with the Spirit, declared, and they asked, like, what authority are you doing this in? And Peter boldly just says, I did it because of Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, but God raised from the dead. And the leaders were astonished at their boldness and commanded them to stop speaking about Jesus. But Peter and John replied in Acts 4:20, and they said, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we've heard. The testimony wasn't polished or academic. It was personal and overflowing. They encountered the risen Christ, and that encounter was impossible for them to keep silent. In the same way, when we have truly experienced Jesus, testimony will naturally outflow from us. It's not about winning an argument. It's about bearing witness to the living Christ who can change lives. So if testimony is simply telling what you've seen and heard, what part of God's work in your life would you find impossible to share right now? And if you struggle to think of something, does that reveal a need to slow down, notice, and remember what God is already doing in your lives? The third point is, let the hope of glory flow freely. So the center of our testimony should be hope. Not a shallow, I hope things will just work out kind of hope, but a living eternal hope that is rooted in Christ Jesus. Christian hope is not wishful thinking, not crossing our fingers, but a confident expectation because Jesus rose from the dead and reigns forever. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Our hope is alive because Jesus is alive. It is secure because our inheritance is eternal and untouchable by the world. Hope is the foundation we build our lives upon. When everything else shakes, Christ remains steady. When our lives are marked with hope, it makes people curious because true hope is rare in a hopeless world. Our culture often puts hope in things that cannot last, whether it's money, relationships, our success, our careers, our health, our family. But these hopes are fragile. They can collapse overnight. Christians shine because even in suffering, even when things fall apart, we live with assurance. We will be okay because God is our foundation. Nothing can take that away. This is what makes our hope different. It's not dependent on circumstance, but on Christ, who never changes. Paul says in Romans 5, 3-5, that even suffering produces hope because it drives us deeper into God's love, which is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope shapes how we face trials. When people see us walk through pain with peace, it becomes a testimony. People ask, how can you have hope in times like this? And our answer is simple: because of Jesus Christ. He comforts us when we are hurting. He carries us when we are weak. He sustains us when life is heavy. And he promises the best is yet to come. Peter says, we must be ready to explain the hope when asked, but not with arrogance, pride, or arguments. We do it with gentleness and respect, knowing it is the Spirit who draws people to Christ, not our clever words. We do it with gentleness and respect. Sharing hope freely points people not to ourselves, but to Christ in us. Romans 5:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul calls God the God of hope. Hope comes from him, not from us earning it or striving for it. He fills us with joy and peace, and we trust him. Hope flows out of a deep relationship of trust, not self-effort. Hope is not meant to be contained. It spills out over into our words, our attitudes, and our actions. When we overflow with hope, people notice. It's like a light shining in the darkness, impossible to ignore. And it is the Spirit who gives this work in us. Hope is Spirit-given, Spirit-fueled, and Spirit-sustained. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Just like an anchor keeps a ship steady in the middle of the storm, hope keeps us steady when life's storms rages. The world may be tossed around by fear, anxiety, or despair, but our hope is anchored in Christ Jesus, who never moves. That kind of unshakable hope is powerful. It stands out and it points directly to Jesus. Titus 2:13 describes our hope as the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope doesn't just look backward to what Jesus has done, but forward to what he will do. One day he will return and the brokenness of our world will be made new. That future hope gives us strength in the present, courage in hardship, and perspective when life is hard. When hope flows freely from us, it becomes both a comfort for us and a testimony to others. It shows the world that there's something beyond this life, beyond what we see, beyond really what we can control. It shows that our hope is not ourselves, but in Christ alone. Now, I remember, I think all of us probably agree, we go through hard times in life. Probably all dealt with maybe heartache, maybe betrayal, or maybe just disappointment. And I remember in those times when it hurts and it sucks. I'm definitely not happy. I'm complaining the whole time. That's the reality. But I know when I'm going through those times, I can trust and lean upon God. He is there. He comforts me. He sustains me. I know things will work out because my hope is in Jesus Christ. So when our hope is in that and we share that with others, if people are going, why are you so different? We say, it's Jesus Christ. He's what makes me whole. He's what gives me purpose, joy, and peace in life. So whatever is thrown at me in life, I know I stand firm in God because he cares for me and he loves me. So if our hope in Christ is meant to be the anchor of your life, what do people see you holding on to when the storms come? And if your anchor has been something else, what would it look like to place it in Christ, the true source of our hope? So I just want to invite the worship team to come on up. Now, we've seen today that sharing freely is not about forcing conversations or memorizing formulas. It's about letting Christ in us shine outward in light. You know, in testimony and in hope. Letting our light shine so others can step out of darkness into life. Letting our testimony flow because we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and what we've heard. Letting our hope overflow so people can see the anchor of our lives in Christ himself. And this all points back to the source, Jesus Christ. We don't shine because of ourselves. We shine because he is the true light of the world. We don't testify about our goodness. We testify about his saving work in our lives. We don't cling to a vague hope. We cling to the living hope, and we have through his resurrection. Communion is a reminder of this reality. This is our light, our testimony, and our hope flow out from what Jesus did for us on the cross. In the bread, remember his broken body. In the cup, remember his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This meal points us back to the foundation of our faith and forward to the day when our hope will be fully realized as he returns. As we come to the table, let's not come as people trying to generate our own light, our story, or hope. Let's come as people who receive it all from Christ. And then, as we leave the table, let's live as people, share it freely, so that others may also taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll hand out communion. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, that you're our living hope, that without you, we would just be swayed by the winds and storms of life, but God, you are our firm anchor. Let us trust in you. Let us be reminded of what you did on the cross for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have hope, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.